So, you're Philip, and you're from Scotland originally.
Yes.
But now you live in, you live in Guangzhou. You
Correct.
Have that nice tea shop in the largest tea market in the world in Guangzhou. And today we're going to talk about Yiwu, because
right.
you have a tea processing unit in Gaoshengzai in Yiwu Mountain. So first, well, yeah, can you tell us a bit about the special, what's the character of Yiwu Mountain? How would you introduce Yiwu tea to a total beginner?
So yeah, for poor drinkers, Yiwu can be described as maybe the softer of poor characters, typically more focused on a light, soft fragrance with a thick, viscous or smooth liquor. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's kind of the more generic description of Yiwu. I guess if you're used to Mong Hai teas, maybe some very strong pours, some people would describe the Yiwu as a much lighter, mellower character,
mm-hmm.
maybe not quite as heavy.
It's quite like the opposite of Mong Hai area, right?
Right.
Usually we compare like what's east of the Mekong to the west of the Mekong.
Correct, yeah.
And so the west of the Mekong tends to be more straightforward, more aggressive than the east. So today we'd like to understand more about the geography of Yiwu. Can you subdivide Yiwu into different areas as far as taste goes, or geographical features, or techniques?
I mean, there's kind of general areas for Yiwu Mountain. But we sometimes even go as far as to talk about the Qichun Bazai. So
mm-hmm.
we break it down even further into village gardens and
okay.
the individual characters of those. But more generically, we can kind of talk about Yiwu Zhenshan, which is the area around Yiwu Town, the kind of area just west, just north, or just south. So these are kind of areas have more kind of distinctions, and then we talk about the mountaintops, the Shantou, or the village areas beyond that.
So when you say Qichun Bazai, it means seven like big villages and eight small villages?
No, I mean that would be a literal translation, but
yeah.
Technically it's more about the fact that there are so many villages
mm.
Now, because there are so many different gardens that have now kind of been identified for their unique tastes, their unique characters within the Yiwu kind of profile.
Okay. Well, maybe we can start by your village, the Gaoshengzai.
Yeah. So Gaoshengzai is around 15-20 minutes, depending how fast you drive, from Yiwu Town. It's one of the more famous now. Villages, and basically it has one of the more kind of notable fragrances in Yiwu character. So yeah, it's expanded a lot over, like the village itself has expanded a lot over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mainly because of the tea gardens available there. So lots of new families or expanding families there.
Yiwu is a big mountain range, quite a big area,
right? It's super huge.
And so that Yiwu town, like the largest the largest town in Yiwu Mountain,
mm-hmm.
where is it located in that mountain?
It's pretty much near the southern side of the mountains. So pretty much all the most famous areas will be north
okay.
of Yiwu.
So,
northeast. Is the most famous
north area. Northeast.
Yeah.
Okay. And all that mountain is at the border with Laos, right?
Correct.
Okay, so you mentioned Gaoshengzai is famous for its fragrance. What about the other villages that surround this area?
A couple of the most famous villages are just outside of Yiwu, and that would be Lo Shu Dong and Mahe.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few villages before that, but the most famous are Lo Shu Dong and Mahe. Yeah, and they have a kind of more distinctive character amongst the Yiwu teas as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a more kind of upfront bitterness,
mm-hmm.
which is maybe not what Yiwu is known for. but it's even though it's an upfront, it's a soft bitterness that kind of turns into a hoigan quite quickly.
Okay.
So it's not a lasting bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's what that area is famous for. It's kind of more of a kind of straightforward style of pu'er within the Yiwu character.
Okay, interesting.
Whereas
yeah, so even within Yiwu, you still can find some fairly bitter teas.
Yeah, that's right.
Interesting.
So going further northeast of there, you'll start kind of going towards the kind of Wangong territory.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wangong territory is it's kind of like a very kind of natural garden, very natural forest garden type area. So basically no roads leading inside, you have to do it on foot.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas the Mahe Lo Shui Gong gardens are literally accessible from the main roads. You can kind of walk in from the main roads, it only takes, say, 30 minutes or so. Whereas the Wangong areas, you have to travel much further.
Okay. And as I understand, the architecture of the gardens is quite different, right, between what you have in like Gaoshanzai, Mahe, Lo Shui Dong, that area,
mm-hmm.
which is mostly populated by the Han Chinese,
right?
And the forests of Wangong area,
right,
which are mostly cultivated by the Yao.
Correct. And then in Gaoshan, it's mostly Yi people. So there's different ethnicities,
okay.
different kind of farming styles or garden management kind of preferences per se.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that really affects the characters of the teas, as maybe not as much as the terroir or the varietals, but yeah, those definitely can, you can see the difference in the garden management.
Okay, so if I start from Yiwu town, then I go on the road, you have Lo Shui Tong and Mahe
mm-hmm.
in one direction, and Gaoshanzai is in another direction,
yeah.
right? And then both roads join, connect.
Yeah, both roads join back towards the north.
That's Yishu, I think.
I believe
well,
that's right.
Anyway, and then you go north towards the Yao territories,
yeah.
like the Wangong area.
Yeah, that's right.
Which comprises mainly Dingjiazai and Guafengzai, the two main villages.
Yeah. Guafengzai is more kind of more east. The southern
yeah.
tip of that area, and that takes a different road, so it's that road splits off towards Guafengzai,
okay.
or you take the road further north towards the Wangong area.
Yeah, and Guafengzai is the most remote. It's
yes.
really right
yeah.
at the border with Laos.
Pretty much, yeah.
So when you say the Wangong area, how big is that area?
The area itself is pretty large. It's now subdivided into villages, sub-gardens
okay.
of each village family. So yeah.
So they call it Wangongzai, but actually there's no village there.
Yeah, we don't really refer to as Wangongzai. We refer them to the sub-villages now. So there's like there's Dingjiazai is now split into upper and lower villages. There's some places like Yangjiazai, which is on the
okay.
fringes. There's other smaller villages that are kind of like subdivisions of those villages as well.
Okay, but are there people living in those areas, in those
yes.
tea gardens?
Not in the
because
tea gardens themselves. They live in the villages, but they're all kind of connected to these gardens, which technically have kind of expanded a little over the past few years.
Okay, like when we see some Bohetang, Cha Wang Su, Bai Chai Yuan, Wan Gong.
Yeah.
These are tea garden names.
Yeah.
They aren't villages.
Correct.
Okay. And I see that every year you have new names that come out on the market for Yiwu tea.
Yeah, that's pretty much been the trend. As these gardens have, a lot of these gardens have been farmed or picked for quite a few years already. But most of them were discovered more recently and just kind of clumped in or saved for private collections because they weren't so famous at the time. But because they are such high quality Gushu, then it just makes sense for marketing purposes to split them up as gardens, just as they've done for places like Changshu or Wangong.
Okay. When you say they were discovered, do you mean that a couple of years ago they weren't harvested at all? People didn't know there was tea trees there?
Either they were too remote and not very accessible, but people knew about them, or people were searching for Gushu or Galgan and found these particular sets of trees in the remote and started developing roads or paths towards these so that they can start cultivating them.
So it seems that there's a bit of gold digging going on in Yiwu. Like, it's basically a huge piece of wild forest and hills, and we know there are like tea trees growing there, and we have to find them, but it's really hard because it's very dense forest.
It's very dense forest, and the tea trees are very sparse. So previously, when tea prices were not so good, it just doesn't make financial sense to put in that much effort to find them. But now that the Gushu prices are able to fetch the type of prices that people are willing to pay now, the villagers are more than willing to try to make these Gushu productions more available. So people are trying to find the Gushus again and trying to open up paths to them.
So if you feel like a real tea adventurer, you should go there and try to find wild tea trees in the forest or abandoned tea trees, because we don't really know whether they are wild or if they were planted maybe a long time ago and forgotten.
When you get to some of these areas, like these areas that haven't been cultivated at all in recent years, the forest is so wild that you can't tell whether they were planted or not, because only a few trees will have grown to that stage, and there's so much overgrowth of everything that to clear a path and to clear the garden out for cultivation makes for a lot of extra work.
Okay. So you mentioned what's like northeast, then so you have Gao Shanzai, then Mahe, Lo Suitong, that those path, then Wangong. Mm-hmm. So what's south of Yiwu?
South of Yiwu, the most famous garden south of Yiwu is Tongqinghe. Mm-hmm. That'll be the biggest set of Gushus down there. So that's been, again, another name that's been kind of bigged up over the last 2 years. The prices of that particular garden have increased very significantly as a result of the effect of marketing. The village nearby, Tongqinghe Village, is what they call it now, and basically they have grown quite considerably as a result of being managing those gardens.
Okay. How would you compare that new area in terms of taste to the, for example, what you have in Wangong area? As I understand, the architecture is quite similar. It's mainly abandoned tea gardens in the forest.
Right.
Like really heavy forests and really big trees.
Yeah, that's right.
So they would be comparable to the Wangong area in terms of management and architecture.
Yes, very much so. And it actually shows in the makeup of the tea as well. It's actually the Tongqinghe character has many similarities to the Wangong Gushu character as well.
Okay.
So yeah, it's maybe not like whereas Guafengjai or the Changshu area is kind of a bit more unique in its flavor profile.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm a poor tea enthusiast and I want to explore that Yiwu area in terms of taste, which tea would you recommend to get? Which samples? Which area should I try?
I mean, in terms of exploration, obviously try as much as many different areas as you can.
Mm-hmm.
But really, if you want to kind of start with a basic, like learn from somewhere like a Mahe or a Galshan, which is more kind of it's a little bit more accessible in terms of price and makes it's kind of more standard in terms of a Yiwu flavor, whereas the Gushu of somewhere like Wangong or Changshu These are a little bit harder to understand for people new to tea.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it takes a little bit more extra, you know, it's not really just about the flavour, it's a lot more about the mouthfeel and the chatty of the tea, and maybe not
okay.
Not so accessible for beginners.
Because they aren't as obvious, as straightforward as
yeah.
Mahé tea or Gaoshengzai.
Yeah. There's a certain kind of upfront character that Gaoshan and Mahé teas
mm.
that have made them more accessible and more popular amongst some Yiwu drinkers because the flavour profile is, it just makes sense because there's a quite clear flavour profile,
mm.
whereas it's a lot more subtle when you get to the wild teas, especially the Gushus, which don't have that kind of like really quick green flavour. In terms of your experiences, what's your experience of Yiwu so far?
I don't have that much experience with Yiwu tea, but of course I can enjoy a good one. I tend to prefer Wangong area, just like you said, because of the mouthfeel and the chachi you get. And I find these teas tend to age very well.
Mm.
They are, yeah, almost sure bets, really. You can't go wrong with an aged Yiwu.
Yeah.
But I also like the classic. Yeah, I would say, if you look in terms of production, I'd say, like, Gaoshengzai, Mahé, Lo Shui Tong, that area is by far the highest output
mm.
On the total Yiwu area.
Yeah.
Right? Because that Wangong area in Tongqinghe, it's, well, it's huge surfaces, but not many tea trees, actually.
Yeah, the old tea trees are quite sparsely...
yeah, and they are scattered.
Yeah.
You don't have a whole tea
it's,
garden.
It's
like,
not a full tea garden.
If you go to Mahé, it looks a bit like tea gardens in Jingmai, where you have like
yeah.
old trees, but they are everywhere
yeah.
around the villages.
That's right. So, yeah, in terms of production, that's why they're more accessible, the price kind of... the price and quality. The quality is still there,
mm-hmm.
but it's obviously easier to obtain as well in terms of material and price. So
yeah, because yeah, there are so many fake teas that are called like Wangong area,
yeah.
including many that come from Laos actually.
yeah.
Many are made in Laos because they have a very similar gardens there actually.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a Yiwu Mountain Tea, right?
Yeah, Yiwu Mountain Tea is the website, and we focus mainly on single estate Gushu productions from
mm-hmm.
the areas that we've mentioned. And you know, we're probably looking to add more single estate productions if we can get the more of the full production. Recently, we've been focusing more on wholesale,
mm-hmm.
Supplying to Chinese brands. And businessmen looking to invest in the areas, but yeah, we're basically going to take some of the production for our Western customers
mm.
and make those available.
Yeah, so we have a very similar business model actually. We like our main trade is like wholesale tea, selling wholesale tea in China,
mm-hmm.
but we also expand abroad.
Yeah.
Mainly by doing retail online,
uh-huh.
and I think it's cool that well, at least I think that that's the only way for the poor tea lovers abroad to really get access to that kind of tea, because usually, well, they are hard to find in the tea shops.
Yeah.
Now we can hope it will change in the future, but for now that's how it is. And so you say that on your what kind of price range do you offer on your website? What kind of range is that tea?
It really depends on which terroir or which
okay.
estate it comes from. So for example, the Mahé Gaoshan productions, maybe the spring Gushu will probably be around $200 or so, and whereas the, you know, more kind of remote areas that fetch higher prices will be closer to maybe $400.
Okay, for 200 grams.
For 200 gram cakes.
Okay, so it's like $1 to $2 per gram.
Yes.
For new tea. So it's Well, it's a very high price, basically. EWT is one of the most expensive areas.
It's,
You could say that has a decent production, well, but it's also like, of course, it's the one of the most prestigious.
Yeah.
As
outside of Banjang, it's pretty much the most sought after tea available, and I guess it's important to say that, you know, most of this tea gets picked up by you know, kind of private brands or large brands, and they end up mixing and cutting the teas to a different type of level, so it's hard to get this level of purity outside, even if you pay this price. So that's one of the advantages we have here. You know, we'll take very small productions to press at pure quality level. So yeah, that's what the online.
So you're focusing on the higher end of EWT.
Yes, that's the main focus for the website. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you, Philip, for the interview. It was really nice to meet you in Guangzhou, in your nice tea shop. And so we'll have a follow-up video with a longer talk about many subjects related to EWU. So thank you for watching, and see you later.
Hope to see you soon, guys. Bye.